You probably have seen people have posted, maybe you've taken part in this yourself, those surveys that if you answer a series of questions, it will tell you, well, what kind of whatever you are, such as what kind of planet you would be if you're a planet, or what kind of color, or what kind of character from Harry Potter, or the Lord of the Rings, or what kind of historical figure, or philosopher, or saint you would be by taking the survey. Now, I have to admit, I've not taken any of those surveys yet. I might, although I have to admit, I will probably pass on the one in which, the survey in which Disney princess you are. I don't need to know that. But if we were to frame as a question the parable that we've heard from Jesus this morning, it might sound something like this. What kind of ground are you to receive the message of the good news of the kingdom of God? Because we're beginning to hear from the chapter 13 of Matthew's gospel, sometimes called the chapter of parables. We're going to be hearing from this for the next few Sundays. And Jesus begins it with the parable about the sower and the seed. But the sower, that image of the farmer going out and throwing seed upon the ground that's been plowed. Now, if you want an image of that, the next time you're going through the intersection of 41st and Yale, look over, I think it's the southwest corner. It's there at the OU Schusterman Center, University of Oklahoma. And you see that image of that sower and the seed, of the farmer with the bag of seed, and he's out seeding the plowed field. Now, for some reason, maybe those of you who are alumni University of Oklahoma, you can explain to me how the farmer wound up as the official seal for this university that produces doctors and lawyers. And why the farmer didn't wind up in the logo for Oklahoma State University. You know, I think we Aggies should have gotten, you know, dibs on the farmer, but that's not the way it worked out. But in this parable, it's easy to see that Jesus is the one who is sowing the seed. And the seed is grace, or God's unmerited love, unmerited blessing, that gift. And this gift is being scattered in what we might think a rather careless fashion. In the time of Jesus, if you were going to be sowing seed, seed was expensive, so you were careful about where you planted it. But in this case, the seed is being scattered everywhere and on everyone. So the question is, what kind of soil are we to receive this gift? And Jesus explains that there are some different possibilities. He talks about the pathway, the one who hears the word of God without understanding. You know, I could sit down and I could read a medical textbook. I could read a journal on chemical engineering. I could read all the words, but I'm not going to understand much about it, because that's not my background. I don't understand all those technical terms, that language. It kind of goes in one ear and out the other. And without understanding, words have no meaning. That's why we at times need help to understand. Need to learn the language, the meaning of the words. Otherwise, they go in one ear and out the other. You know, an example that we have from the Acts of the Apostles, we have a man, an Ethiopian, and he is reading one of the prophets from the Old Testament. And he encounters Philip, one of the followers of Jesus, and he asks Philip, help me understand this. And Philip explains it to him, how this applies to Jesus, the risen Christ. And the Ethiopian, he asks to be baptized. We need to understand the words for them to have meaning. That's why we should not only pray with the Bible, but also study the Bible, to study the catechism. That's why we pray at all. That's why we should learn some philosophy, some theology, take part when we can in spiritual direction, retreats, parish missions, faith formation. That's why we have a program on Sunday morning for our children and also for our youth. Why we have the Y Disciples for our middle school and high school youth that meets on the weekends. That's why we have Catholic schools, so that we can understand the language of faith, of belief, so we can understand the sacraments, the grace that's given to us, so that it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. You know, I think many of the critics of Christianity today that dismiss religion altogether, I think it's because they don't understand the language. They read it, but without understanding. And unfortunately, sometimes it seems that some of them really don't care to learn either. I'll give you an example. Somebody who's regarded as one of those intelligent men alive today is Stephen Hawking. He is a physicist, amongst other things, and he probably will forget more about physics than I will ever learn in my entire life. But if you know about some of his opinions about religion, it's clear that the language of faith and of belief is a language he doesn't read, he doesn't understand. And therefore the words don't have much meaning. As intelligent as he is, and I'm not saying that to slam him, but just saying that as an example, that even people who are very intelligent in one thing have that great understanding may not have much of an understanding in other areas. Another possibility that Jesus gives about the seed being sown is that of the rocky ground, that there's a momentary joy, that gift of grace, but it's not allowed to sink in, not allowed to take effect, to change the heart and the life of the receiver. Another example, the possibility is that of the thorny ground, that one hears the word, at least with some understanding, one is comforted by it, but one wants to keep it at a safe distance, under control. The focus is not on receiving the gift of grace and allowing it to take root and bring forth the harvest. Rather, the focus is on what Jesus calls the values of the world, of achieving status, power, wealth, and then having all the anxiety that goes along with them. So wanting to have Jesus, wanting to have the comfort of faith, but also wanting to have all the things that the world offers as well at the same time. And I think that's perhaps the greatest challenge for us, living our faith in 21st century America, because in comparison with most of the rest of the world, we are a nation of wealth. We are a nation of power. And therefore, it's easy to become a nation in which we are complacent, particularly about our faith. These things, this wealth and power and status, they become our security instead of the sower and the seed that is scattered among us. And sometimes we wind up being stripped of this security, and it comes as a great shock. Such as when, as I shared last Sunday, when I was in Spain on pilgrimage, even before I began the pilgrimage, I was robbed on the subway. And so I didn't lose my passport, but I lost my credit card, I lost my ATM card, I lost my little card that says I'm a priest. All those things that normally give me security was taken away. And I didn't lay them down willingly, by the way. They were taken from me, and that shock of having that removed. But it also, as I was able to continue the pilgrimage, of seeing that there was a hidden blessing in that. That all the things that couldn't rely on that security, but had to rely on unexpected grace. All those very nice people that helped me along the way. That unexpected seeds of grace given to us. The other possibility that Jesus talks about in the parable is that of that rich soil, of the one who hears, understands, and lets that word of the kingdom take root and grow and bring forth a harvest of an unheard of plenty. The time of Jesus, if you got a 10% increase in the normal harvest, that was considered a bumper crop. Yet Jesus talks about 30, 60, 100 more times than what you normally get. This almost absurd amount of grace. But that's what we're called to be open to and to become. As the prophet Isaiah puts it, that the snow and the rain comes down, the seed is given, the word of God to achieve the end for which it is sent. And the end for which it is sent is to convert us into that rich soil for which we long to become, often without realizing it. Because all creation, and we along with it, is groaning, desires to give birth to the harvest of the Spirit, the redemption of our bodies in Jesus Christ, as St. Paul puts it. It's that ongoing conversion of our hearts, the ongoing reform of our lives and of our church as we are nourished today in the gift, that unmerited gift of grace in the Eucharist, as we offer our sacrifice of praise, our thanksgiving in this Mass. And not only to receive the seed, the Word of God as rich soil, but then also to be the ones who help sow the seed amongst others. For all creation is groaning, desiring this redemption. So if you are in the coming days this week, I think it's a great image for us to pray with, that sower and the seed. And if you find yourself waiting for the lights to change at 41st and Yale, look over at that statue. The one who is sowing the seed. It's Jesus, that image of Jesus, but it's also that we are called to become the ones as his church to be the sowers of the gifts of grace. For all creation groans and has this desire of the heart to receive the truth, to be liberated from the slavery of corruption and of death, and to share in the freedom of the children of God.